On a Monday, it is a state capitol report. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Dozens of business leaders around the state signed on to a letter this month urging lawmakers not to advance legislation that limits voting access or creates additional barriers to casting a ballot. The letter was coordinated by the Wisconsin Voting Rights Coalition. What are your thoughts on voting bills backed by Republicans in Wisconsin and across the nation? Business owners, how would stricter voting access affect your business or ability to recruit employees? Join in 800-642-1234. Corey Nettles is founder and managing director of Generation Growth Capital, a private equity firm based in Milwaukee that aims to boost small business growth. Corey, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on. Really appreciate being here.
Well, good morning. Explain the essence of what this letter to lawmakers was about.
Well, we're concerned as business leaders about any additional restrictions on the right to vote in Wisconsin. I think this is bad for the state. I think it's bad for the economy, and I think it's bad for democracy. And we thought that we thought it important that a broad group and coalition of business leaders stand up and say that publicly to our lawmakers as they are advancing these various bills. So we thought it important, you know, as business leaders, as people who hire people who have large and employs to large and diverse employee bases, that we speak up in support of voter rights in Wisconsin.
Yeah, what are conversations like with other business leaders, with your peers, and how this relates and connects to legislation about voting?
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting. There's as you might expect, a wide range of views on this. There are some business leaders who do not think that it is their place to speak up at all. There are others who have, you know, political views across the spectrum, some of whom support restrictions like this. But in my experience, and it's not scientific, you know, most business leaders are opposed to these kinds of measures. And some of us have also been willing to speak out in opposition. But there's a wide range of views on this, as you might expect. And some are trying to figure out how do they enter as business leaders into the public policy and political fray. This is very fraught. You know, as business owners, we have broad stakeholders from investors and shareholders to employees. So a lot of business owners are struggling with whether to speak up at all, and if so, how. So it's been an interesting sort of conversation. Those of us who, this isn't fair, but you know, a group of us who spoke up, we spoke up on behalf of the economy and on behalf of our businesses. And we think that these legislative efforts are not in the best interest of our business and not in the best interest of our democracy.
Corey Nettles, specifically, what measures in particular are you opposed to? What stands out?
Yeah, you know, for me, that's a great question. What I've said is I'm against the whole package because I think all of them are unnecessary infractions on the right to vote. I think anything in a democracy that makes it more difficult for people to vote is a bad idea. So that's been number one. Number two, I'm a Lawrence University proud alum. I was a government political science major, and my American politics professor, you know, may rest in peace, Larry Longley. Professor Longley taught me as a government student that anytime there's legislation, the question is always, number one, what problem are we trying to solve? And number two, why does it need solving now? So when I look at these legislative proposals, the question for me is always, what problem are we trying to solve? The folks who are pushing these often will lead with fraud, voter fraud.
Improving election security, voter confidence, you know, election integrity.
Absolutely. And every study that's been done for decades has consistently demonstrated that there is no significant voter fraud that exists in our country. Are there one or two cases, you know, and I read some anecdotes over the weekend of people who vote twice, you know, recently released felons who don't understand what their voting status is, who vote inadvertently. Yes, there are some anecdotes, but nothing that rises to the level of statistical significance. So I can't see what legitimate policy problem we're trying to solve. And as I said to some business leaders over the weekend who are tepid about this or reticent or hesitant, what this really is to me is a pretty clear example to reshape the electorate in a partisan way. And you know, I'm a fairly apolitical person. I'm not a party person. I don't believe in party politics. I don't join parties. I vote for individual candidates based on individual issues. But it's been clear that the Republican Party has said they cannot win on the battlefield of ideas. And the way that they win is to reshape or redefine the electorate, and specifically to limit who gets to vote. And in a democracy, we shouldn't do anything at all to support that. We need to push back against that, whether it's done by either side. There's gerrymandering that happens on both sides, for example. That's all bad for a democracy. So I'm sorry for the long-winded answer, but there's no one bill. I'm against the package because I don't think that there's a legitimate policy problem that needs solving. And I don't think a democratic society ought to be looking at ways to limit the franchise.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Corey Nettles, Managing Director of Generation Growth Capital in Milwaukee, as we discuss an open letter to lawmakers from some in Wisconsin's business community criticizing legislation that would put up additional barriers to casting a ballot. Getting your thoughts about it as well at 800-642-1234. Jeff is joining us from Delafield. Hi, Jeff.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. My comment is obviously voting is a very sacred, critical piece of our democracy, and we have to protect that against fraud. And I understand what the last speaker mentioned, saying there's no evidence of fraud. Well, fraud is, what is fraud? Fraud is what society defines it as. And is mail-in voting fraud? No, and a lot of people have done it for years, but my understanding is that there's laws, there's supposed to be laws that say you can't campaign within X number of feet or whatever it is of a polling station. Well, when you're going door to door with absentee ballots, you're obviously campaigning. You're working for one side or the other, and that polling station becomes your front doorstep. So how is that not campaigning at a polling station? So is that fraud? Well, by one rule, I think it is. So I guess I don't understand what's wrong with the protection saying that, you know, it should be a little bit hard to vote by maybe making you go to a polling station, maybe voting absentee for a legitimate reason. But again, we need to protect the process. And yes, we have to do that so that we're not restricting the right to vote. But again, we need to protect the process.
Jeff,
and that's my comment.
Yeah, Jeff, thank you. Jeff, looking at the nuance there, your reaction, Corey?
Yeah, I guess several things. Number one, the laws on campaigning near a polling station are specifically on election day within certain given hours. Being out canvassing door to door to encourage people to vote, including by absentee, and to have a residence that's across the street from a polling station, which are very often inside of elementary schools or church basements, that's not fraud and that's not against the law. So that specific example isn't the right one, number one. You know, number two, we have very serious voter protection laws in place. And if anyone, a candidate campaigning on election day at a polling station is a clear violation of election laws. Invariably, somebody does it, and that should be appropriately sanctioned. And we have existing laws that make clear that you can't do that. And whether it's that or whether it's people who aren't eligible to vote, who vote inadvertently or who vote intentionally, sometimes twice in two different jurisdictions where they move, there's laws on the books now to protect the integrity of the process in that regard, and those laws should be enforced. But most importantly, you know, Jeff said something that I guess I fundamentally disagree with, and I think this is at the heart of this debate. He said it should be a little hard to vote. I disagree with that. Mm-hmm. I think voting should be made easier in our country, not harder in our country. You know, in my business life, I spend several days a week traveling, and invariably, I have to be out of town on business, supporting my family on election day. Sometimes I know in advance that on Tuesday, November, whatever, I got to be in New York or in D.C. or wherever I have to be. Well, I should have the option to vote absentee because I can't be at election. I can't vote in person on election day. I think in our democracy, there's ways to protect the franchise, but to allow flexibility. There are people who work, who can't get off of work during the 8 to 5 p.m. or the 8 to 8 p.m. that polling stations are available. Why should elections be limited to just that one day? I support digital voting. So my broader point, and where Jeff and I fundamentally disagree, is I think that we need to protect the franchise and the integrity of the franchise, but we need to make it easier for people to vote and not make it hard to vote.
We have a business owner, Jody from Downing, on the line. Jody, your thoughts?
Hi. Yeah, I'm a small business owner, and I haven't really thought about how these laws affect my small business, but I'd be happy to sign on to this letter. I totally agree. To me, this is a complete waste of time. It's happening all over the country, and it's total voter suppression. I've done some watching at the recounts in our county, and I have complete confidence in the system here. I've helped do voter registration, and I know it can be really cumbersome with just the way it is right now with all, you know, all the documents that people need to be able to be registered. And it's a right that everybody should be able to have, and we should make it easier for people to vote. My son lives in Oregon where he can vote by mail, and I think everybody should be able to do that. How easy and how inclusive that is for everyone. Mm. So that's what I have to say.
Jody, thanks. Corey.
Totally agree with Jody's sentiments. Oregon's a great example. You know, people ought to be allowed to vote by mail. People ought to be allowed to vote, you know, absentee if that's their preference. I take pride in going to the election poll and voting in person and getting my little I voted sticker. That's great. But not everybody has the ability to do that. We have people who are homebound. You know, I have a grandmother who doesn't drive and who has limited mobility. Schlepping her out on that Tuesday to the polls and putting her through all of that so she can exercise her right to vote is an unnecessary, you know, restriction or limitation on someone who spent her whole life working and doing everything she can to uphold the values of a free and open society and a democracy. So we ought to make it more easy for people, particularly senior people, disabled people, but folks who got to work. So, and there's no reason that we can't do this while at the same time protecting the integrity of the franchise. Other states have done it. Other countries have done it. We can do this. We live in a digital age. There's digital encryption. There are all kinds of things that we can do to protect the franchise. But our value and our goal should be to make it easier. We're the most revered democracy in the world. If we're really going to be that beacon of democracy, then we need to show the rest of the world how you can do this, how you can allow people to vote and exercise their franchise while at the same time maintaining election security.
Corey Nettles is managing director of a private equity firm in Milwaukee. We're talking about legislation that creates restrictions on voting in Wisconsin and what it would mean to businesses and industry. Are you concerned about voter fraud and election security and feel such legislation is vital to election integrity? Are you concerned about the perception and image of Wisconsin if voting restrictions advance through the legislature? What does it say about our state? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap with Corey Nettles on the Ideas Network. It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking with Corey Nettles, managing director of a Milwaukee-based private equity firm which aims to build up small businesses. He signed onto a letter this month alongside more than 60 business leaders sent to lawmakers opposing bills that would limit drop boxes, create additional paperwork for absentee voting, and require voters with disabilities to provide copies of their IDs in more cases. Still time to talk, 800-642-1234, and Corey Nettles is with us for about 10 more minutes. Corey, help us connect the dots. You run an investment fund in Milwaukee that focuses on helping the small businesses, medium businesses grow. How do you think changes in Wisconsin elections would correlate, would affect Milwaukee businesses?
Yeah, I don't think it's just Milwaukee businesses. I think it's the state of Wisconsin businesses. So stepping back a step, you know, back in 2003 to 2005, I was the Commerce Secretary for the state of Wisconsin. It was mm-hmm. a great honor that I had bestowed upon me by then Governor Jim Doyle. And one of the things I learned is that Wisconsin has a brain drain problem. Too many of our educated high school and graduates and college graduates were leaving Wisconsin and going to other places, Minnesota, Illinois, Michigan, et cetera. So the real question became, how can we retain and attract more people here in Wisconsin? Part of the concern that I have about this group of bills as it relates to our Wisconsin economy is that we begin to create a culture and a climate where the very workers that we need to retain and attract and say, if this is the values of this state, if this is the culture and the climate of this state, I don't want to live here. I want to live in a free and open society that values participation in our democracy, that values people of all different sort of backgrounds. So I'm very concerned that this will affect negatively our ability to retain and attract talent in a state whose population is flat to declining. We can't afford to put ourselves at a competitive disadvantage relative to other states by doing things that create a culture and a climate that make the next generation of workers, these young, you know, up and coming stars, say, you know what, I don't want to live in Wisconsin. You know, Wisconsin is a purple state, and I'm proud of that. It's neither blue nor red. It's purple. But if we create a culture and a climate where people feel like their rights are being suppressed or the rights of others are being suppressed, then that talent is very mobile and they can land someplace else, you know, where they feel like they can participate more freely in society. So I think this is a broader contextual problem for our state and could be a real impediment to our ability to retain and attract talent.
Let's go to Bruce now in Green Bay. Bruce, hi.
Hi. I was calling. I don't understand if the legislature really wants to democracy, they should make it a felony to gerrymander, and they should make it a felony to purge voters without a real justifiable reason. I just feel that what's going on should be illegal, what they're trying to do. It's obvious. They've run out of ideas, and they can't get people to vote for them.
So Bruce is really echoing there, Corey, what you're saying. You know, and Governor Evers hasn't said whether he would sign Republicans' election bills. So why do you think it's important to speak out at this stage?
Well, because I think our democracy is at stake. And I don't say that, you know, for hyperbole. You know, if you start placing restrictions and limitations on who can vote, you know, this is like Back to the Future, you know, 75 years ago. So think about, you know, civil rights movements and voter rights movements that came out of the southern part of our country back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, culminating in the Voting Rights Act of 1965. That fundamental fight was about who got to vote in this country. This is sort of retrograde. And we as a society, as a country, can't be in this place where we're saying we want fewer people to vote and not more people to vote. So I think our friend from Green Bay got it right. You know, it's obvious what the intention is here. And we as a not just business leaders, but as a democratic society, as citizens, we all have to push back on this. You know, to be clear, you know, I'm a political science major. I believe in democracy, you know, to my core. I want there to be two or more healthy, strong parties battling it out on the battlefield of ideas. You know, that's what democracy is all about. It's not about limiting who can vote. So we all need to be calling our legislators. We need to be pushing back on this. We need to be saying no. We need to not fall for the obvious sham that this is in a very hyper-partisan environment. We all have to push back and protect democracy and the franchise for all of our citizens. We all have that obligation. I'm glad that some business leaders are stepping up to do it, but all of us have to do it.
Corey Nettles leads a Milwaukee-based private equity fund. We're discussing a letter sent to lawmakers from dozens of Wisconsin business leaders. It criticizes legislation, as we've been talking about, that creates additional red tape for voting. And getting your thoughts along the way, Marcy is with us from Stevens Point. Hi, Marcy. What is on your mind?
Hi there. Yeah, I think it's absolutely, totally absurd to consider that anything that is strengthening our voter integrity or tries to ensure it is some sort of fraud or suppressing voter rights. Voting is extremely easy. You go in, you show an ID, a mark, an X. There's nothing difficult about this. And to say that it's somehow suppressing, you are pushing a falsehood right there. That's nonsense. If My vote isn't assured by integrity. I have no vote either. So you're suppressing me. So that's my comments.
Corey.
Well, you know, facts are stubborn things. And you're entitled to your opinion, but you're not entitled to your own facts. What the facts are, is that there's no significant evidence of the integrity of the vote in our state, in our country, ever being compromised. There's no evidence of that. Are there one or two cases that happen somewhere in the country? Absolutely. Are there some people who intentionally commit voter fraud? Absolutely. It is a statistically insignificant number. So the question is, back to Professor Larry Longley, what is the problem we're trying to solve? There is no need to strengthen voter integrity in our state. We have strong laws on the books now. We have prosecutors all across our state who every cycle prosecute people who violate those laws, and I want them to. I want Marcy's vote to be protected. I want my vote to be protected. I want my grandmother's vote to be protected. But all of those protections exist today. What we're doing now goes beyond strengthening the vote. It goes to suppressing the vote of people. And that's really what this is about. We have to ask ourselves, why all across the country are these bills only being pushed by Republicans? If there was a problem with the franchise, I would hope that Republicans and Democrats would come together in a bipartisan way to fix that. These bills are not bipartisan because there's no bipartisan Democratic problem to solve. It's very clear what Republicans across the country are trying to do. It pains me and breaks my heart that they're trying to do it as a person who believes in democracy. But there is no problem in the need to strengthen our democracy and protect Marcy and other people's franchise. So, you know, I would say go focus on the facts. Go to your Google machine, look at voter fraud, Google it, and you'll find out factually that it's statistically insignificant in our country and certainly here in Wisconsin.
Corey, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on.
Corey Nettles is founder and managing director of Generation Growth Capital in Milwaukee. Just ahead, we take a look at how herbal remedies are used to treat pain and boost your immune system. Do you use herbs for your ailments? What helps? 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the State Capitol Report, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.